In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of us have heard stories of kings in the past who have seen someone else's land, wanted it, and then taken it, and have not been too concerned about killing those who have occupied it. And here in 1 Kings chapter 21, we find such an incident happening in Israel. King Ahab, he sees a vineyard nearby, Naboth. He wants it for himself, and so is prepared to take it, as we see in this passage. And the way that we're going to approach this passage is by first of all to consider King Ahab, who we're going to spend a bit longer upon, and then very briefly we'll go through looking at Queen Jezebel, Naboth, who owned the vineyard, and Elijah, who confronted the king with this message of judgment. And then we'll look at two or three other characters which help to give light upon this passage and also help us to apply this passage to our lives. Let us take King Ahab. We read, Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I'll pay you whatever it's worth." King Ahab had obviously seen this vineyard and wanted it, so he goes down to speak to Naboth, and this conversation with Naboth seems to go, as Ahab speaks to him, it seems to be fairly reasonable. He says to him, "You know, give me the vineyard and I'll give you a better vineyard, or I'll give you as much money as you want." Well, we might say, well, what more can we expect? That does seem reasonable. But Naboth does not want to sell. And then we realize, as we read about King Ahab, that this vineyard meant far more to him than at first it appears. We read, "He went home sullen and angry, and he lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat." And we can well imagine, if you can imagine in your minds, King Ahab going back, as he goes into the palace, people coming up to him, but he shouts at them, going into his room, slamming the door, throwing himself on the bed. And then when people come up to him to give him food, he does not want to have it. We can well imagine him saying, "Go away." This was the situation. And as we look at this, we can see that Ahab did not even want to eat that day. His mind was totally taken up with having this vineyard of Naboth. He wanted something which belonged to someone else. And as we think about this, we see something of the power of sin. This desire to have someone else's property had so overcome Naboth that he could do nothing else. Unless we're a bit too critical of Naboth, let us also think that sometimes we too can be a bit like this. We're overcome perhaps with some anger. Someone's really annoyed us, and we cannot think of any other matter. Sin is powerful. When we turn to the stories in the past, we can think of Cain. Remember, he was angry with his brother Abel, and the Lord comes up to him and says, "Sin is crouching at your door and is seeking to have you." And obviously it did, because he went off and killed his brother. Sin is powerful. Here in this passage, Elijah says, "You have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord." The idea that King Ahab has somehow given himself or sold himself into slavery to evil because of what he's done. And we can think of the New Testament, where the unbeliever is said to be a slave to sin. So we see sin is powerful. But also we can see it is somewhat degrading and humiliating. If I was to describe to you a two-year-old, and I'm sure many of you have seen two-year-olds like this, their mum tells them what to do, and then they don't want to do it, and they start stamping their feet, their faces go red, they may lay on the floor, banging their fists. And then, of course, their mum tries to coax them up and tries to get them up, but they refuse. Tries to offer them a biscuit, but still this two-year-old refuses. And he's just laying there on the floor. Well, I'm sure many of you have seen such things. And of course, when we talk about two-year-olds like that, well, we may not agree with it. We may think their behaviour is not good, but we understand. It's a two-year-old. But here in this passage, we find the king of Israel behaving just like that. In fact, even his wife comes up to him and says, "Is this how you act as king of Israel?" You know, we can imagine him, as we've already said, going in and being on his bed, totally refusing to eat anything. This was the type of thing that had happened. And of course, I'm sure if we think about it, we can relate a little bit. We notice that this happened in the home. And I'm sure some of us have experienced occasions in the home when someone has got very upset about something, and in fact, there's nothing really to be upset about. Maybe something's been done differently. Maybe something wasn't done at all. But whatever the reason is, the person in the house has got really upset and has created a huge scene. There's lots of emotion. And at the end of the day, we're wondering what the situation is all about. And maybe we're the ones who have even been in that situation and have created such a fuss. We find that, and if we think about it, that such behaviour would be totally embarrassed for anyone else to see. Sin, when we think about it, is very degrading and humiliating. But let's move on to Jezebel, and we'll move quicker now. Jezebel comes into him and says, "Why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?" And we can well imagine Jezebel coming in, stroking King Ahab's head, and saying, "Oh, my poor King Ahab, my poor Ahab, why are you so upset? Won't you have something to eat?" And then she says, "Is this how you act as king of Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." And of course, Ahab knew his wife, and he knew what type of thing she was thinking about. But nonetheless, Ahab did nothing to stop it. And this, of course, as we think about it, Naboth probably would not have gone and taken that land on his own. He probably would not have had a false case put against Naboth and had him killed. But he allowed himself to be taken along to be persuaded by this woman, Jezebel, who was obviously quite evil. And it reminds us that sometimes we need to stop and think when we're thinking wrongly, because other people can persuade us to make that sin even worse. But furthermore, we notice Naboth. And we notice that Naboth had refused to sell this land. And of course, he was quite within his rights to do so. In Leviticus chapter 25, we're also told that the people were not to sell the land. And so he doesn't sell the land. He refuses to sell it. And then what happens? He finds that he's falsely accused, he's killed, and his land is taken. He is a victim in all this. He has suffered, though he's done nothing wrong at all. And that reminds us, of course, that sin often does hurt other people. We can think from our own experience when someone has come up to us, given some insulting, upsetting comments, maybe been very cutting in their criticism of us. And we can think how we have felt. We've felt hurt and upset. And whether we're talking about cutting comments, whether we're talking about anger or revenge, or whether we're talking about adultery, whatever type of sin we're talking about, very often there are ripples of hurt which spread over many people. So sin is not only powerful, degrading, but it also causes hurt to people. But let us also notice Elijah, sent by the Lord. And before we look at Elijah, perhaps we should think to ourselves and ask ourselves, well, do you think Ahab should be punished? He's taken this land. He's obviously had this man killed. He's been in agreement with it. Should he be punished? And I think most of us would agree that he should be. And what we find is, as Elijah sent by the Lord, obviously this was a sin not only against Naboth, but also against God. And Elijah comes and says, I have found you. You have sold yourself to do evils in the eyes of the Lord. I am going to bring disaster on you. There is punishment. And of course, we're reminded as we look at Scripture that when we do sin, we sin against God. And also, we're told in Scripture that the wages of sin is death. But before we come to a conclusion, let's just briefly look at two or three other characters which help us to apply this to our life. There was one like Elijah called John the Baptist in the New Testament. And he had a message of judgment, but also he saw Jesus. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's whom we trust in and believe on as Christians. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And also, as we're thinking about this, we must also remember there was someone else who did something very similar to David, to King Ahab. David. Do you remember? He'd seen someone else's wife. He wanted that woman and then was prepared to have the husband killed. There was punishment for him. There was problems in his family. There were difficulties in his kingdom. And yet, ultimately, David remembered that God is a forgiving God. We read in Psalm 51, he says this, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. He confesses his sin to God. And then we find he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He asks that God would change him. And then he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. He knows, from what he knows of God, that God will accept him coming to him with a broken and contrite heart and will forgive him. And when we do find that we're overcome by the power of sin, when we do find we experience something of the degrading effects of sin, and we've hurt other people, as believers, we can come to God, whom we also have offended. And we can come confessing our sins, like David, praying that God would strengthen us and renew us in our hearts, knowing that he forgives us, remembering that we have the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. May the Lord bless this word to your hearts.